China shot down one of its own old weather satellites they had up there. What do both of you think about that? You first, Mike.
Well, I think it's a dramatic demonstration of what we have been working on for the past couple of years, and that is the issue about space no longer being a sanctuary, as we mentioned earlier this evening. And whatever the decision-making process or what message was trying to be sent can be debated. The central fact remains is that the Chinese proved technology in conducting an anti-satellite test, and that has implications for us across the entire spectrum of space and our need to protect space assets.
The Russians believe that about a month or so ago, we shot down one of their satellites, that we disabled it. Do you believe, Mike, that we might have done that in a test?
Well, it certainly is technologically possible, no, but I do not believe that we did. I think that that is rather typical Russian, bellicose comments these days, given the posturing that Russia is trying to incur in many, many segments. And one of the things that Russia will constantly do and has done as part of the old Soviet Union is lay blame on the United States and the West for many things that befall that part of the world.
Bill, what are the possibilities that one day we'll have what I call the Space Force, like we have the Air Force and the Navy and the Marines and the Army, but we'll have a Space Force, a group of soldiers who do nothing but go up on special craft to disable satellites, maybe. Maybe they get close to it and they aim lasers at it. Maybe we can do lasers from space. I don't know yet, but will we have that kind of capability, people in the Space Force?
It's very possible, George. At the moment, space is really divided up among the three primary services, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Army. Everybody has a piece of it. The Air Force is kind of the lead agency in terms of acquisition of capabilities. But you're right. The day may come when we actually have a separate space force. And I personally think it's up to the Air Force to perform the missions that are necessary to serve the other services and the nation very well, or they very well could lose the mission and we see another a standalone space force developed, much like the Air Force was carved out of the Army Air Corps years ago.
Mike, how reliant are we on satellites and satellite technology?
Across our political, our diplomatic, our social aspects and our financial aspects of life. George, we have a great deal of interest in space because we, in fact, are now, today, a spacefaring nation. And if you draw the parallel about the United States and think of us as a seafaring nation, born a couple of hundred years ago and still today with the free transport of commerce, space is the same, and it's not just commerce. It is also our entertainment. Simple things such that we don't think about because it's so transparent to going to ATM machines, some of our automatic pumping at gas stations, obviously entertainment with television, but financial and national security across the spectrum.
I see the day that we'll be traveling in space from L.A. to New York, not in 6 to 7 hours, but in maybe an hour and a half. It'll go up and down, and there it will be.
That's exactly right. Could be even shorter, George, if you do a suborbital mission from New York to L.A. or vice versa. It's definitely technologically feasible to make that trip very quickly.
Mike, let's talk about the possibilities now, because we are so reliant on satellite technology. Tell us the things that could go wrong if satellites go out, either by solar bursts, electromagnetic bursts from the sun, or some kind of nuclear explosion up there, man-made.
Well, you highlight something very key, and I will answer that question. I'd first like to address the point that you make about solar flares and solar radiation. One of the things that we are dealing with today, and which we highlight in the book, is we may know what has happened to a satellite, but we don't necessarily know why, whether it was man-made, such as jamming, or whether it was caused by the solar radiation, solar flare aspects that you talk about. So that is a key point. But what could happen, let's start with real world. George, you might remember a few years back, pagers went out in the hospitals throughout this nation.
I remember that.
Doctors and nurses were not able to be summoned because of a satellite outage.
It was for almost a day, wasn't it?
It was about that long. It was a little less than 24 hours, but it caused a lot of consternation. And it upset the routine, and I don't mean to say routine, and because nothing is routine about a hospital and what has to occur, but there is a rhythm, and that rhythm was severely disrupted and caused a lot of consternation. Well, we face some of the same things, whether it be communication and our ability to provide the instantaneous communication needed across the globe, or the movement of our financial transactions. These things can be interrupted, disrupted, and disabled. And you mentioned that Armageddon in space, if you will, the high altitude or exo-atmosphere nuclear burst. If you also think about everything that you use personally in your daily life, from your automobile to your computer, and those computer chips, they are also vulnerable on this Earth, let alone what it will do to those assets in space.
There was always a concern that the Iranians, when they get their nuclear capability, will simply blow something up in the atmosphere, not on the ground.
That's exactly right, George. And the ramifications of a detonation like that, as Mike said, could have a lot of impacts on the ground. If I could just mention some of the impacts on low Earth orbit satellites.
Sure.
You're going to knock some of those out immediately, but there's also some delayed effects, too, just due to the way radiation works.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a series of satellites die over a period of time, and tacking on to things Mike said, taking that into the military operations realm, the impacts would be severe and immediate. Nowadays, our air, land, and sea forces, they depend heavily on space capabilities, obviously for GPS, for navigation and precision targeting. And most of the air forces and navies airdrop precision weapons like the Joint Direct Attack Munition, or JDAM. They now rely on GPS signals. And if we lose those, some of those GPS satellites, the accuracy of those weapons decreases dramatically. And that can really impact some of our operations very quickly. For instance, you know, commanders just probably wouldn't go after certain targets for fear of collateral damage, such as accidentally hitting civilian buildings nearby.
Mm-hmm.
As Mike mentioned, communication satellites, we're highly dependent on those.